unrelenting nice weather and gorgeous leaves and landscape and all the time to enjoy it that we had this weekend. I don't know how much more of this we can take. We got to get back inside the radio station.
I don't know how much I can appreciate where I live and the beauty that surrounds me. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Those are two important things to remember because those are the two ways you can donate during our fall fun drive.
Yeah, and today is the first day of the last week of our fall fun drive.
First day of the last week.
If you have not yet given, this is a perfect time to engage with this because so many of your friends and neighbors have done their part to keep this public radio station going here in our area.
Yeah, we've heard from so many donors, and we are at 30% of the way there. If you go to WJFFradio.org, you can see some of those names of folks that have donated to us. Katie, Jamie, Chris, Roger, so many great folks. And Roger saying, appreciate the great work you do, Jason and
thank
all.
You, so wow, thank you.
Special shout out for J-Man. That's J-Man, is that going to be a name for you? 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Corva Coleman. Former President Donald Trump will tour storm damage in Asheville, North Carolina today before giving remarks. He will also hold a rally later in Greensville. Trump has been spending time campaigning in other swing states. That included a town hall event in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, where he spoke for about an economic proposal.
We're going to do a lot of things. For one thing, no tax on, on Social Security benefits for seniors.
Trump has also said that he'll protect Social Security benefits. He says a strong economy under a Trump administration would help bolster Social Security. Vice President Harris says that she wants to strengthen Social Security by making more wealthy Americans pay what she calls their fair share in taxes. Harris will be campaigning today in three swing states, Michigan, Wisconsin, and Pennsylvania. She will be joined today by Republican and former Congresswoman Liz Cheney, who has endorsed the vice president. The Biden administration wants health insurance to cover over-the-counter contraception. NPR's Sidney Lupkin reports that includes Opill, condoms, and Plan B.
Under the Affordable Care Act, women have been able to get birth control pills for $0 at the pharmacy counter if they use their health insurance. But that means they needed to have a prescription. Now that the Food and Drug Administration has approved an over-the-counter birth control pill, which does not require a prescription from a doctor, the Biden administration wants health insurance to cover that too. The Biden administration proposed a new rule under the Affordable Care Act requiring health insurance to cover the OTC birth control pill, which is called Opill, as well as spermicide, Plan B, and condoms. The details are still coming into focus. But the rule, if it goes through, would likely not take effect until at least 2025. Sidney Lupkin, NPR News.
The Israeli military is striking targets in Lebanon. It says it's aiming at financial facilities used by Hezbollah militants. Some of the strikes are at a financial institution used by regular Lebanese civilians. Stocks open mixed this morning as Boeing sweetens its contract offer for striking machinists. NPR's Scott Horsley reports the Dow Jones Industrial Average slipped about 100 points in early trading.
Striking machinists at Boeing will vote on the latest contract offer on Wednesday, the same day the jet maker set to report third quarter earnings. Machinists had rejected the company's earlier contract proposal, which called for 25% pay raises over 4 years. The new offer would boost those pay hikes to 35%. The maker of Band-Aids and Tylenol is attracting interest from an activist investor. Stock in Kenvue had been bleeding since the consumer products company was spun off by Johnson & Johnson last year. Shares were patched up on news that Starboard Value had taken a significant stake. China is once again lowering interest rates, but investors seem unimpressed. Stocks were down overnight in both Shanghai and Hong Kong. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR. In the swing state of North Carolina, a state court is holding a hearing today for one of three Republican lawsuits. These are challenging the ballots cast by U.S. citizens living abroad, including U.S. military members. As NPR's Hansi Lo Wang reports, many legal experts are raising concerns about these lawsuits in the coming weeks before the last day of voting.
For years, North Carolina has allowed eligible members of the U.S. military and other U.S. citizens living abroad to vote, as required by federal law. The state's election rules allow absentee ballots to be cast by citizens who are born outside the U.S. and whose parent or legal guardian's former residence is in the state. but the Republican National Committee is arguing those rules violate North Carolina's constitution, which requires voters to be state residents. Republicans are also challenging overseas voting in the swing states of Michigan and Pennsylvania. Many legal experts say these cases are not likely to go anywhere, in part because they were filed after officials started sending out ballots to overseas voters. But election watchers are concerned these cases are laying groundwork for questioning election results. Anzila Wong, NPR News.
A member of the Little Rock Nine students who helped integrate an Arkansas high school has died. Thelma Mothershed Ware died in a Little Rock hospital of multiple sclerosis, according to her sister. She was 83 years old. In 1957, Mothershed Ware was among the students initially blocked from entering Central High School by Arkansas's governor. He used National Guard troops to keep the students out. Former President Dwight D. Eisenhower sent U.S. Army troops to escort them inside. I'm Corva Coleman, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from Arm, committed to delivering innovative, advanced computing designed to enable worldwide companies to unleash the capabilities and experiences of AI. The future of AI is built on Arm. Arm.com. This is NPR.
And this is Radio Chatskill. Good morning. I'm Tim Bruno, and I'm in the studio here with Mr. Jason Dole.
Howdy, howdy.
It's our fall fun drive.
It sure is.
845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. That theme music also means it's election season. Headlines, breaking news. It's election season. And we've been bringing you election coverage with local candidates in New York and in Pennsylvania. Our listening area covers off Northeast Pennsylvania, Catskills, and so many important races that are going on.
Yeah.
And one of those is in Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District. The representative that is the incumbent there is Matt Cartwright, and his opponent is challenger Republican candidate Rob Bresnahan Jr. We've had a chance to, you had a chance to talk to Mr. Cartwright.
Yes, I did just last week, I think. We finally connected, got that interview done. I've talked to him in the past, so it was good to check in again. Of course, these candidate interviews are a chance for the listener and for voters to get to know the candidate a little bit and where they stand on the issues. So that's what we do here. So if you are unfamiliar with Matt Cartwright, who is the incumbent, this is your chance to learn a little bit about him.
Yeah. And, you know, we talked to the candidates about healthcare, economy, infrastructure, environmental policy, all kinds of different things that folks want to know about. So we're going to bring you that interview. Also, other interviews that we've done with other candidates, New York Senate District candidates, Pennsylvania 139th State Assembly candidates, they're all available at our website, WJFFradio.org. Click on the election button. You know what's right next to that is the donate button, where you can help support this local news and information that is crucial at this time of year so you can stay informed.
Both our donate link and our election page link are decked out in red, white, and blue and star-spangled because tis the season.
We're
celebrating.
It is the patriotic thing to do to vote and the patriotic thing to donate to your public radio station.
Yes.
845-482-4144. Or go to WJFFradio.org. Here is Matt Cartwright, the incumbent representative Democrat in Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District, speaking to our own Jason Dole.
Could we start off maybe just by giving the listener a little bit of your background, who you are, where you come from?
Sure. I'm a native Pennsylvanian. I was born over on the northwest side of the state in Erie, Pennsylvania. And love brought me to northeastern Pennsylvania. My wife, Marion, is from Archibald, and we've been living here since 1988. And I worked as a courtroom jury trial lawyer for 25 years, representing families and workers all throughout, really, eastern Pennsylvania, but concentrating on northeastern Pennsylvania and standing up for individuals against powerful forces that were arrayed against them and still are. It became kind of a natural thing for me to shift into politics because it gives me a chance to stick up for ordinary working people against the powerful forces lined up against them every day, but a bigger platform from which to do that. So I've been serving in the Congress for almost 12 years now. I've risen to the top of the House Appropriations Committee which people in northeastern Pennsylvania who have lived longer than 50 years or so remember that we had some very effective members of Congress in our area who did that, who rose to the top of the Appropriations Committee in the U.S. House. And that worked for our benefit because at the same time, you know, anthracite coal mining was dying out. We needed help from our local members of Congress to make sure we had something to supplant the loss of that anthracite coal mine economy. And people like Joe McDade, a Republican, Dan Flood, a Democrat, they both helped out our area a lot. I'm not saying the congressman can fix the entire local economy, but there's a lot you can do, and I've been able to start doing it. So I've been very proudly serving as the U.S. representative for the 8th Congressional District of Pennsylvania, and I'm running for another term.
Well, yeah, and I want to get into the issues and what you hope to do on the issues if given another chance to serve another term. But since you were just talking about the economy, let's start there in terms of economy and job growth. What do you hope to do if reelected?
Right. Well, for me, the most important issues in this election are lowering the cost of living, protecting and improving Social Security and Medicare, safeguarding women's rights, and securing our border. But focusing on the economy, look, a lot of people are hurting. The cost of living is just too high. Prices obviously went up during COVID, and they never came back down. And there's a lot of greed going on. We know executives are just lining their pockets on the backs of working people. Look at the scandal that the Federal Trade Commission uncovered this year. I sit on the panel of appropriation that funds the Federal Trade Commission, and they approve mergers, you know. And what they did was they were looking at a potential merger between a Texas oil company and another one, and they get in, they do an audit. They go through the books and records and even the correspondence of these companies. And what did they find? They found a Texas oil executive at one of these companies was colluding, was scheming with foreign countries to limit production. In fact, it was with a top OPEC official. This Texas oil CEO was conspiring with to hold down production of oil during COVID so as to keep prices high and line their pockets. Unbelievable. That's not competition. It's un-American and it's illegal. And as a result of that, the FTC started a complaint against that Texas oil executive. And that's what we need to do, enforce the Sherman Antitrust Act. It's not competition when they do that. It's not a free market. We need to break up monopolies and give working families, not big business, a tax cut while we're doing it.
A major industry still to this day in your district in northeast Pennsylvania is agriculture. Agriculture and tourism are two of the biggest industries. What are your thoughts on agriculture in your area?
Oh, absolutely. That our area's farmers have probably been hurting the worst of anybody with the rising cost of things, particularly energy. Farmers, as you know, use a lot of energy to till the soil and everything else they have to do to raise crops or livestock. So all of the things that I said about controlling inflation apply in spades to the agricultural community. But in addition to that, there are other things we can do. We've seen politicians play politics with the farm bill. That's not my style of playing politics. I think we need to put people over politics and must pass legislation that our farmers rely on, like the farm bill. We have to do. I can tell you, I am one of the most bipartisan politicians in Washington, and I strongly support bipartisan compromise that'll let us get the farm bill passed in a timely way that supports our farmers. Farmers are facing increased competition from markets like China, and I've been a longstanding supporter of cracking down on China's unfair trade practices so we can give our local manufacturers and our local farmers a fair shot they need to succeed. But when I tell you I like to work in a bipartisan fashion, I mean it. We've talked about this before, Jason. We were talking about the train project, and the only way we've got a shot at bringing a train line back that, you know, existed for 100 years, but 50 years ago they stopped it. That'll be a big boost to our local economy. But the way I was able to pull that off was to pull together a broad coalition of community leaders and politicians of every stripe and of both parties to work together. And it looks like we're pulling it off. And it looks like by about 2029, we're going to have train service back in the northeastern Pennsylvania. So that'll help our local economy and everybody working in it. The other thing I want to mention was that we got some good news just yesterday. Route 611 through the Delaware Water Gap has been closed for nigh on 2 years now. And it's because of a longstanding dispute between bureaucrats, people at the National Park Service versus people at PennDOT, couldn't agree on what to do after a rock slide at the end of 2022. And they were in an impasse. They weren't doing anything. Well, I followed my old model. Get together a broad coalition of elected officials on both sides of the aisle, Democrats and Republicans, get stakeholders involved. And what we did was we started doing Zoom calls with the bureaucrats involved and forced them to come to an agreement. I mean, I hate to say it, but I kind of tortured them to death, Jason, until they finally came up with a compromise solution. I'm happy to tell you that PennDOT has now been working on that roadway to open up, at least on a temporary basis, that roadway to local traffic, and that's going to be such a relief to the local citizens. The local businesses that were struggling because they didn't have any traffic, the people who were, you know, had to drive to New Jersey first to go to the doctor or to get groceries or things like that, it was ridiculous. And if somebody had a medical emergency, it was going to take them much, much longer to get to a hospital. This roadway is going to be opening up the week of November 4th. I couldn't be happier about it. It's going to be open on a temporary basis for quite a while they sort out some other issues. But this is the kind of thing you can accomplish if you pull together all of the people, the community leaders and the elected officials from both parties, and express your, exercise the joint power, the collective energy of a group like that. That's been my business model as a member of Congress, and we'll continue to do that.
Okay, and, you know, before we go, I'd like to just take a bit of time to talk to us about, as you said, you've been serving in Congress for about 12 years. What would you tell your constituents, what would you tell voters about why they should send you back to Congress for another term instead of voting for your opponent?
Well, first of all, I am the only candidate in this race endorsed by the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Everybody likes to make big promises on these issues, but anyone without a real plan to ensure benefits don't run dry by 2035 is just full of hot air. Growing the economy isn't a plan. The economy is growing right now. Social Security's future solvency isn't suddenly fixed. Our plan will fix it, and that's why I'm proud to tout that endorsement by the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. I'm also working on building more housing. I mean, home prices are climbing. It's getting harder to afford a down payment as prices climb. We have a lot of great local property developers that we need to support, but we have to do private public partnerships with them. But I can tell you also, I made sure we got so much money in abandoned mine land cleanup in the bipartisan infrastructure law. We're going to have upwards of $2 billion coming into northeastern Pennsylvania to clean up these mines that produce, you know, orange water as they come up with oxides of metal. We clean up those mines, we're going to be creating space to build senior housing, community centers, this kind of thing that we can do. We did that with the bipartisan infrastructure law that I was very proud to support. I've been taking on big pharma to lower the cost of prescription drugs, $35 a month cap for insulin, next year, $2,000 annual cap for seniors, and expanding the list of medicines that Medicare will now be able to negotiate drug prices with, help to lower the cost of premiums on the Affordable Care Act marketplace, make health insurance more affordable for working families. None of these things are things that my opponent in this race supports. And that's the big difference. Who really cares about the people of northeastern Pennsylvania and what they've been putting up with in the last several years? And who really has a plan to fix them? And I am that candidate.
All right. Well, Congressman Cartwright, I thank you for taking the time to talk to us, and I wish you all the luck in the coming weeks.
Well, great to talk to you as usual.
And that was Jason Dole speaking to incumbent Democrat candidate Representative Mark Cartwright from Pennsylvania's 8th Congressional District. A reminder that we will have a debate between Matt Cartwright and his challenger, Republican candidate Rob Bresnahan Jr. That's tomorrow at 7 here on Radio Catskill. They will discuss critical issues affecting Northeast Pennsylvania and the nation. That is airing live tomorrow on WJFF Radio Catskill at 7 in partnership with WVIA-TV and WVIA Radio as we keep you connected this election season. We should note we had reached out to Republican candidate Rob Bresnahan Jr. for an interview, but he has declined so far. And we will keep you posted on that. And you can hear all of our interviews at WJFFradio.org. When we come back, we've got some news about the Town of Bethel's comprehensive plan, a survey happening. More after a break. This is Radio Catskill.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Furniture Restore, located on Main Street in Jeffersonville, specializing in antique and vintage furniture, rugs, art, and lighting. Because buying well-made and pre-owned is a better choice for the planet. Online at therestorejville.com. And from The River Reporter, the community newspaper serving four counties along the Delaware River in Pennsylvania and New York. RiverReporter.com. And from listeners like you.
Some people say it's not polite to talk about money, but we have to because money is how we provide this service. Today, less than half of American households donate money to charities and nonprofits. We get it. Budgets are tight. But if you are able to give, please know that donating to this station is an investment in keeping your community engaged and informed. Every dollar counts, and we thank you for whatever you give. Here's how.
Donate at WJFFradio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Catskill. I'm Tim Bruno. And yes, every dollar counts. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. It's our fall fund drive. We're 38% of the way toward our goal. We're wrapping it up by the end of the week, and we can wrap it up sooner if we hear from you. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. The Town of Bethel is updating its 2006 comprehensive plan. It's a roadmap that guides future decisions in the Town of Bethel. Town Supervisor Daniel Sturm is here to tell us about it. Hello, good morning.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for having me.
I've got fun drive mouth and fun drive brain, so it's hard for me to articulate things. So, Mr. Sturm, Town Supervisor, thanks for coming in and telling us about this plan. Now, it's the update from the 2006 plan. It's been a minute, so tell us about the plan and what you guys are hoping to do.
So, again, thanks for having me. The town of Bethel is updating the comprehensive plan. It is suggested that we do it at least every 10 years. So we're doing an update. And I want to be clear exactly what the comprehensive plan update is. As Tim said, it's a roadmap that guides future decisions in the town of Bethel. We did get a grant last year from New York State. It was about a $90,000 grant. We have to pay 10% of that to hire a planner, hire a consultant to do the plan. One of the most important aspects we'd like to talk about this morning is the survey, which is out and available now. But the plan itself, it's supposed to be a proactive document that provides information on the current conditions in the town. It helps us to establish a vision and a set of goals for the future, and it provides strategies to achieve those goals. Most important, which we'll talk about today, would be the survey. We want everybody to fill out a survey. The survey is going to ask you specific questions. We're asking Bethel residents, business owners, landowners, and second homeowners about what their priorities are, what would they would like to see in Bethel, and how the town can better serve their specific needs. And if I could, we're asking all people to fill out the survey. And how do you do the survey?
How do you do the survey?
Well, we made it as available as you possibly can.
Okay, well, online?
Yes, you could do it online on the Town of Bethel website, if I can, townofbethelnewyork.us. You could do it on paper copies are available at the town hall. You go see the town clerk Monday through Friday. She'll give you a survey. Also, the QR codes. We have them printed all over town. We put these flyers out. You do the QR code. The last plan in 2006, I think we had about 200 surveys provided. Mm-hmm. We're well over 400 right now.
Oh, that's good.
But the most important thing is to get those surveys out. We want to hear what the people have to say.
And a reminder, it's for Town of Bethel residents, but the Town of Bethel encompasses a few different towns. So if you're not certain if you're in the Town of Bethel, double check it, townofbethelny.com. But it's Black Lake, Briscoe, Bushville. There's a Bethel part of Coshecton, a Bethel right. part of Jeffersonville, Conneaugh Lake, a Kenosha Lake area, part of Bethel, right. Mongup Valley, Smallwood, Swan Lake, and White Lake.
All hamlets in the town of Bethel.
Correct.
So, yes, you should know. And some of those questions go to that.
We've got our special New York hamlet, town, village, all the designations here. And you also, in the comprehensive plan, ask folks, if they're a full-time resident, seasonal, there's a question about age, if people have school kids. But then also, past that basic demographic information, you're asking folks about what influenced their decision to live in Bethel.
Exactly. We're looking for, things are different than they were 15 years ago when we did the plan. We have different strengths in the town of Bethel. We have certainly different opportunities. And the way it is to reach out to people to see what's on their mind, how we could address those in the most comprehensive way possible.
And in the town, of course, the hamlets that we mentioned, the main industry in town of Bethel is really tourism,
right.
Largely driven, in fact, by the fact that the site of the original 1969 Woodstock Festival is there at Bethel Woods.
Yes. And that does so much for our economy, our local economy, and it's our job to use that as one opportunity for the town of Bethel. Build on that, build on it, as you said, the tourism. And have people come every weekend, which they are, second home development, a lot of stuff going on. But just last weekend, this past weekend alone, is just a symbol of, how beautiful the weather was, how many people came up to see what's going on. And so things are moving well.
It presents opportunities, maybe some challenges too, as the tourism increases. People, get concerned about the number of people coming through. Are there things like, parking, Airbnbs, that kind of stuff? Do these things sort of populate or bubble up to the top of sort of concerns? As you mentioned, things are different than they were 15 years ago.
They're different. There's a lot of concern about development. If I give you an example. The survey, right? It asks you questions about the environment. It asks you questions about sustainability, about transportation, housing densities, business opportunities, zoning, and all other important topics are in the survey. So yes, it's all, you gotta have some vision for the future, which we hope to do with the community's help. But they're all very interesting questions that we try to address all the time.
What's the deadline for the survey to take the survey?
It's online now, available. Started on October 7th, and November 10th is the last time that you could do the survey online.
And then what is the timeline once you get the survey deadline done on the 10th? You'll calculate all of that. Are you expecting to announce some of the results after the first of the year, or what does the timeline look like?
So we have a consultant that's going to analyze all the data, and that's a good question. That's only one part of the comprehensive plan process. We also have focus groups that we're going to do. We have interviews that we're going to do, and which will all be announced and advertised on the town website going forward. So this is just one tool that we use to gather the information. Most important part is to gather what people want to do. I can't stress enough how important this survey is to us. And the input is going to – your input, the Bethel residents' input, is going to help shape Bethel's future.
Yeah, and when you go to the website, there is at the top there a link to the comprehensive plan, and it takes you to all of these different links that are within there, including a flood map, a land use map, a pending development map, watershed map, wetlands map, all of this stuff that is so important to the nature of the town.
You know, a lot of comments that I've heard, I've been on the board probably close to 18 years. About 20 years. I've been supervisor for about 18. And a lot of comments I heard, you know, you guys just don't listen, right? You don't listen. But I could assure you, we are listening. We want to hear what you have to say, and we're going to act on your input.
And, you know, it looks like the website is showing a lot of it, and this is the chance for folks to be heard, and not the only chance, as you mentioned. Right. There will be focus groups. There will be public hearings about it as well. When do you expect to adopt this plan? Is it sometime next year?
It's about a year and a half process that we started in February or March. So you're looking probably middle of the year, late in the year of 25.
Mm-hmm.
But again, we have meetings every month. We have comprehensive plan meetings. We have a great committee. We have great, I believe, a great planner. Nan Sulzenberg is the planner, consultant. Maureen Lerner is the liaison to the Comprehensive Plan Committee. Good people working on it, a diverse set of people working on the plan as part of the committee. So we're going to get all our information, and sometime in the next year we'll have our update. And again, public hearing is going to be part of it, and more input.
So again, if you're a Town of Bethel resident, go to townofbethelny.us to fill out that comprehensive survey plan that is online. Also, paper copies available. Deadline to get that done is November 10th. You know, Dan, we were talking in the break before you came on about just the weekend. Like, how was the weekend? And you mentioned something that really kind of goes to the community aspect of not only the Town of Bethel, but just this whole area. Talk a little bit about that event you were talking about, the Cunningham.
Cunningham Farms on Saturday. The Bethel Business Association was there. It was a fundraiser for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. There was a young lady, part of the Cunningham family, that had some sort of leukemia. So she's having fundraisers. She's doing very well now, which is good to hear. But I went to this event, and there's hundreds of people there. It's a beautiful Saturday. It's a farm, so there's a million things for kids to do there. I encourage people to go there for the weekends. There were bikers there. All of a sudden, 30 bikers pull up. The police are there doing their thing, you know, registering kids and doing that kind of thing. They were on site, and it was just a great community event. You see all these kids, you have pumpkins and there's hay fields, and it was just something to be part of. The BBA was there, as I said, and it was really proud to be part of that and see a lot of money was raised for a good cause. And that's something that it's a significant day for us.
Yeah. It's always great to know about those things and participate in those things and see the community coming together like that. Daniel Sturm is the town supervisor for the Town of Bethel. Again, that survey, townofbethelny.us. Dan, thanks for coming in.
Great. And thank you so much for having me.
Of course. And again, we're able to bring you all of these great local events in your community. Thanks to your support. Listener-supported public radio relies on your donations. 845-482-4141. Or you can donate at wjffradio.org. Donate now during our fall fun drive. Take a break and back with more right after this. You're listening to Radio Chatskill.
Hi, I'm Scott Simon. I bring you the news every weekend. But before I do that, I'd like to give you 2.5 minutes of, I don't know, something that really interests me. A fluffy new symbol of dissidence has surfaced in Hong Kong, the hamster. That's why I believe the American bagel belongs on the same UNESCO intangible cultural heritage list as French baguettes, Cuban rum, and North African couscous. Paddington Bear was detained for swiping marmalade. It is not Earl Grey. Worm tea abounds with vitamins and nutrients. Efflorescence and zeitgeistiness in the same sentence, only on NPR. My job's to bring you the news. I'll happily keep doing that more if you keep donating. Make a contribution to your local public radio station today. Thank you.
Give now. Call 845-482-4141 or go to wjffradio.org.
Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and you can also call us here in the office at 845-482-4141. Make your donation now to support us during our fall fun drive. Hey, it's been a couple weeks. We haven't heard from Mr. James B. Huntington. He's back. Local economic perspective, local economic news from a local economist, James B. Huntington. Good morning. Oh, there you are. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, thanks for being here. I know you had a couple of days off for the holiday, and then checking back in with you now. Usually hear from you on Monday so we can see what's going on with the economy. What do you have for us on the jobs report, the latest jobs report?
Yes, well, that came out over 2 weeks ago now. So it was generally a good one. We had 254,000 more net new non-farm positions, which was almost double the published estimates that were out there. Unemployment was down. It dropped 0.1% to 4.1. That's the seasonally adjusted variety. There are 6.8 million unemployed people, which is down 300,000. And we had 700,000 more in the unadjusted number for unemployment. Wages were up about the inflation rate, well, actually about double the rate of inflation. Average private non-farm payroll earnings were up 15 cents to 35.36. And people left the labor force, which made the numbers better. We lost about 600,000 to the category that said they were not interested. The AJSN, the measure showing how many additional positions could be quickly filled if all knew they'd be easy to get, lost almost 1 million, meaning that latent demand for jobs is down considerably. Otherwise, in general, the job market is healthy, but it's not really overheated, which means that as far as interest rates go, the Federal Reserve can concentrate more on inflation.
Yeah. So I was just going to ask.
It was a positive month, and it was not, but it was not so positive that people will be talking about overheating economies, because that's not what's indicated here.
And I wanted to ask you about inflation. It looks like it's easing, but is it still a big deal, a big problem?
Well, it's down considerably. What we have on a consumer price index report, which came out a week ago Friday, it said, or Thursday, rather, it said that overall inflation is down to 2.4%. That's down 0.1% from before. That's really a more or less a no-problem sort of level. The disadvantage was that a lot of that was for decreases in food and fuel, especially fuel. So otherwise, it went up over 3%. So the biggest gainers and losers were in September. Airline fares were up 3.2%, motor vehicle insurance up 1.2%, and clothing up 1.1%, and motor vehicle maintenance and repair up 1%. The decreasers were both fuel oil at down 6%, over only the month, and gasoline, as you may have noticed at the pump, down 4.1%. So generally we're in good shape, but it's not all even, and it is a concern that the core inflation rate is still over 3%.
Yeah, I saw something on CNBC.com about that I hadn't really thought about, but that is inflation is a mosaic which can't be captured fully by any individual yardstick. And as you mentioned, there are some things that are higher than we would like airfares or insurance, but then gas is down. So it's still in a place where you can't declare victory over it, I guess, if you're the Fed.
Right. Well, it's never going to be victory. There is no more inflation. It's just a matter of how much there is and where it is, how much the individual effects will be. But it's, in any event, it's nothing like it was at its peak a few years ago, where it was 8 or 9%. So prices are higher because they were pushed higher then, but they're not increasing much now. They're, in general, we're sitting around the same area and going up a little bit.
And you've got some unemployment statistics for our listening area. What are the latest unemployment stats for the region?
Yes, absolutely. We have, for this area here, these are August numbers, the most recent, they just came out within the last couple of weeks. Sullivan is at 3.5%, which stayed the same. Orange County, 3.9%. That also stayed the same. Ulster County, 3.9%, which dropped 0.2%. Wayne County also 3.9%, but that was a gain of 0.3% for them. And Pike County lagging behind the others at 4.9%, a gain of 0.2%. But if you consider that the national rate for August, the uncorrected rate, which is what these are, 4.4%, we're really doing quite well. We're not looking into having any trouble or anything bad here. It's nothing to take for granted that we're doing better than the national average. So as long as that's happening, and it does seem to be a substantial difference for four of the five counties here, we're in good shape.
And a word that's getting bandied about a lot in this election season, tariffs. From an economic perspective, how would widespread tariffs affect businesses and consumers?
Well, we've had some before. We had some 6 or 7 years ago, and the results were really not very good. So the studies of what happened then was that almost all of the amounts added, the 10 or 20%, just wound up being increases in the prices of things, which are inflationary. Other problems we have with tariffs are retaliatory ones by other countries, which they say if we're going to tariff them, they're going to tariff us as well, and that also tends to increase our prices. So businesses are having problems with these, where they're trying to rearrange their supply chain to minimize their what they're being charged. And what's described here in this Hamilton Project piece is the frenzy of appeals for exemption. A lot of them, people are trying to lobby their governmental officials to avoid tariffs, and that's a distraction, and it's causing business to do that sort of thing. Jumping through bureaucratic and political hoops. So it doesn't look very good, and this article ends with, why on earth would we want to repeat that mess? Because it was destructive, and it is ultimately inflationary, and that's what we don't want right now.
Yeah, lots of issues to parse through this election, and especially economic ones. It's, as they say, the economy stupid, as folks are looking at all of this. Let's talk about the numbers. Let's talk about where things were this morning, and what you got for us in terms of the data for the last few weeks.
Okay, these are three-week changes, because that's how long it's been since I've been on the air. But compared with 3 weeks ago, and as of very early this morning, gold was $27.31 an ounce. That's up $80. That's yet another all-time high. Silver, $33.99, up about $2.50. Silver really woke up. The ratio is now down to 80-1. If anything, silver might be a little higher proportionally than gold, given the changes in India and such that affect gold prices so much. Dow Jones Industrial Average, 43,276. That's down up 963. That's one more all-time high. NASDAQ, 18,490, up 371. That's similar on a percentage basis to what the Dow had. It really, overall, a very good 3 weeks. Oil, West Texas Intermediate, $69.51. That's up $1.06. It's still very low. It seems to be $3 a gallon, give or take, in our tri-state area. So that's an improvement. Bitcoin, $68,510 plus $4,200. That got in the act, and it's going up with other things now. Higher percentage, befitting how volatile it is. British pound, 1.3018, down about 4 cents. And the euro, 1.0855, down 3.5 cents. Those are down and giving up recent gains. The Japanese 100 yen coin is at 67 cents, so it dropped its recent gain too, and that's down 3 cents. So overall, if you're looking for metals, platinum and palladium, which are usually related to the gold and silver prices, are still lagging. They're relatively low. Otherwise, everything seems to be extremely strong. If you want some fun, if you haven't checked your investment balance, if you have stocks and such where you can see your balance or your 401k or anything like that, check and see what it is. If you haven't been there, you may be very pleasantly surprised.
Well, and hopefully if some of those folks might be pleasantly surprised enough to take a few of those dollars and send them our way during our fall fund drive, because that's a good investment too, right?
Yes. Yes, it is. Absolute blue chip investment.
Absolute blue chip investment. James B. Huntington, thank you so much. We missed you for a few weeks there, and glad you're back with us. And we'll check in with you on Monday again for more local economic perspective. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tim. Thank you, listeners.
It's a fall fund drive. Donate at 845-482-4141. Or call or donate online at wjffradio.org. We could use your help. It's an investment, a very good investment, to keep this public radio station going for you and for everybody. 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. We'll take a quick break and back with more Radio Chat Skill after this.
Don't worry what others think. We've all heard this advice. But is it good advice?
It can lead us to some really suboptimal, problematic strategies that don't serve us well, and then we're left confused as to why I didn't get a good outcome.
How others see us and why it matters. This week on Hidden Brain from NPR. Today at 1 on Radio Catskill.
I'm Aaron Bendich, and it's my mission with Borscht Beat to bring Jewish music back to the Catskills. With your support of Radio Catskill, I'll be able to continue doing this for a long time. It's the Fall Fun Drive on Radio Catskill. And if you want to donate, go to WJFFradio.org and please consider supporting this wonderful radio station.
And you can also call us at 845-482-4141. Welcome back to Radio Chatskill. I'm Tim Bruno, and we're starting a new segment today. It's going to be a recurring segment in partnership with our friends at the Chamber of the Northern Poconos, where we bring you some highlights of some of the businesses at the Chamber. We're calling it Chamber Chats. I feel like I need a theme song or something. Let's work on that. Our first Chamber Chat is going to be with Lisa Williams from Lake Wallenpaupack Neighbors. Hello. Welcome.
Good morning, Tim. Did you want me to sing a theme song
maybe, or do you got it? I think maybe after we'll record. Maybe bring it back. But thanks for coming in, and thanks for coming over to tell us more about Lake Wallenpaupack Neighbors. Now, when I saw this show up on the sheet, I was like, oh, this must be like a community organization, which it is, but it's also this magazine that you have published.
Yeah, I brilliantly brought a visual aid to the radio for you, Tim. See how I do it? This month is actually Women in Business Month. So this month's edition has a bunch of my friends that are in business around Lake Wallenpaupack. But we publish this monthly publication. It goes to homeowners all around the lake and some other satellite areas that consider the lake home.
Yeah, so you're able to reach out to everybody in that community through this magazine. Now, you know, all the kids are on the TikTok and they're doing their social media and stuff, but there's still this powerful print publication that reaches people right there in their home. They can read right through it.
I can't tell you the feedback that I get from the community, because we're able to do things like we feature this wonderful athlete coach at Lake Wallenpaupack High School, area high school, who works with Special Olympics. And we put this beautiful spread together with her and some of the athletes. Now, you don't think that these families are framing this, putting it up in their homes, or, you know, we feature athletes, live music around the, you know, the live music scene around the lake. And yeah, it's definitely having an impact on the community as far as their response to it.
You started this, when did you start this? A few years ago?
It's been 3 years.
Wow. Okay, cool. What motivated you to start this?
Well, you know, I actually wanted to get to know the lake better. And what better way to get to know any community than talking to the business owners? And coming out of COVID, I wanted to get to meet people face to face. And this opportunity worked very well for me. Tim, I'm not opting for your job, but you might hear I have a radio voice.
I can too. I can tell. Listen.
So I have a background in media. Put that 6-minute soft sell tainted love song on when you need to do that. That's my advice. The remix version is always good for the bathroom breaks. But, you know, I was interested in being back in media in, you know, during COVID, meeting face to face with the businesses around there. This whole area gave me such hope. You know, that time, I don't like to talk about it a lot, but it was depressing, right?
Yeah.
And it was a little terrifying to be meeting face to face. But when I met with local businesses, the moms and dads, the generational businesses there, they're moving forward. Their optimism is evident. And it gave me such great hope and the ability to put out this magazine. So thanks to all the businesses around Lake Wallenpaupack.
Where'd you work in radio?
All over. You know how this world is. Uh-huh. But I guess I'm not from here originally, but I worked in Columbus, Ohio when I was a Buckeye. Go Bucks. And then I worked
I'm
out
from
in
Indiana,
LA.
So you got to be careful.
Okay. Well, my brothers and you would get along great because, yeah, there's a rivalry there.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Definitely. But yeah, so the last radio job I had was in Denver, Colorado.
Oh, cool.
And then 9/11 happened.
I'm
not here to talk about depressing things, but it's just like COVID. But it just kind of changed my priorities.
Yeah.
And I went back to my family and just kind of did family for a few decades. Until I came back to Lake Wallenpaupack.
So Lake Wallenpaupack Neighbors, do you focus on a different theme every month? Like this is Women in Business Month. Do you have a different theme every month?
Normally we have a local family on the cover. So just a regular family that lives there, and we tell a lovely story. And I have this mailed to my parents, and my dad, I talked to my dad yesterday and he said, Lisa, I love reading those stories. And he's in Ohio. Because they're positive. They're encouraging. They're about the best in our community. You don't have to be a superstar to be on the cover. But everyone has a story to tell. And so we get a chance to really connect the community with some of these awesome families that do very interesting things and just, you know, be positive, which I, in this day and age, appreciate.
Yes, right. We're all trying to stay positive. But we were talking about community with the town supervisor of Bethel in New York here, too, and how the power of community there. It can seem a little intimidating in some ways when you think about this lake, because it is huge. It's like the second largest lake in Pennsylvania, I think, and 52 miles of shoreline. So this helps connect people really together on something that kind of gets spread out, which we all seem to have in this area. Things are kind of a little further away than you would think, and you're the rural nature of our area, but this is a great connector.
And what's interesting, Tim, is I just drove from there to here. And by the way, it's a gorgeous day.
It's a gorgeous drive.
If you haven't been outside in the last week, go and take a drive.
We're trying to figure out a way to do the fun drive outside, so working on it.
Get your remote crew set up there. Right. Perfect. But you're absolutely right. The lake is pretty widespread, so it's an opportunity to bring people together. But here's an interesting thing about the lake. Again, getting to know it so well. We've had an influx of people from your state coming to Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. From New Jersey coming, and they don't really know the area. They don't know the things to do. They don't know the good businesses to get in contact with for their needs. And so this is another resource for them to get connected quickly with their new home.
Yeah, and their neighbors. Where can folks pick up Lake Wallenpaupack Neighbors?
Sadly, they can't.
Oh, darn.
This is an exclusive magazine. It's delivered into the homeowners' mailboxes around the lake. But I'll put this offer out there. Anybody who would like to be on the mailing list, I mail it to my mom and dad in Ohio. I will put you on the mailing list if you call Radio Catskill and give them your name and address. I'll put you on the list.
There you go. That's nice. All right.
Awesome.
That's great. Lisa Williams from Lake Wallenpaupack Neighbors. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
Well, and thanks for doing this, too, because it's such a great way to connect the community. Again, we're talking about all these different ways of connection and yet another way of doing it and appreciating the media side of it and taking your media background and putting it to use there with the Lake Wallenpaupack Neighbors.
Thank you.
All right. That's going to do it for this edition of Radio Chatskill. If you do call in and want to get on that mailing list, think about doing a donation as well for our fund drive. It's 845-482-4141 or WJFFradio.org. Our fall fund drive ends this Friday, but it can only end with your support. 845-482-4141, WJFFradio.org. And as I was talking with Lisa, you know, a power of connection. We're a platform to connect you, right? To connect you to people in Lake Wallenpaupack and, you know, what they're doing over there in Bethel, to the congressman, to the economy. We covered all that in just this hour. And there's so much more. 845-482-4141 or go to WJFFradio.org. I'm Tim Bruno. Thanks for listening.
Hello, I'm Brett Buddy from Majestic Farms in Mountaindale, New York. When communities across America are losing their local news source, most of local news in other communities is being written by computers that have no idea what's going on in their local community. And when I think about Radio Catskill and what it means to us is that we have a source for real information about what's going on in our local community. And without that, nothing can change. If people don't actually know what's happening in their community, there's no opportunity for anything to change. So that's what Radio Catskill means to me. And that's absolutely fantastic. I'm just so grateful that we have something like that in our community.
Your gift keeps local news, culture, and NPR funded and freely available to the entire community. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Support for Radio Catskill comes from the Narrowsburg Union and Catskills Curated, presenting products of regional artists, artisans, makers, and craftsmen. Gift wrapping and shipping available on site. NarrowsburgUnion.com. The Cooperage Project in Honesdale, dedicated to building community through performance, learning, markets, and good times. TheCooperageProject.org. And from listeners like you, who donate at WJFFradio.org.
We love Radio Catskill. It gives a lot of great programming.
I think we have a very split population, like most of the country, and getting two sides of a picture is really great.
Local news and interviews are very important.
It's more important than ever to have talented, smart people looking at the world and providing intellectual, well-reasoned coverage.
Your donation ensures Radio Catskill can maintain the level of integrity we bring to you every day. Give now at WJFFradio.org.
Or call 845-482-4141, 845-482-4141. That's the number to say hi. And you can also go online to WJFFradio.org, make a donation of any amount to help us close out the fall fun drive. We can only do it with your support, listener-supported public radio. That's what you're listening to, WJFF Jeffersonville, streaming live at WJFFradio.org. We've got local news, culture, and NPR on Radio Catskill. Today's weather, sunny, very warm. I think I don't have to tell you that part. High 74, tonight clear, low 49. Continued warmth tomorrow, 76. A little cooler Wednesday, 69, and then we kind of get back into more seasonable fall weather on Thursday with a high of 52. This is Radio Catskill. Donate now for our fall fun drive.
I'm Stephen Dubner on the next Freakonomics Radio. Did you know that 60% of the jobs that Americans do today did not exist in 1940?
We're constantly thinking of new things to desire, new services to offer, new goods and products.
So what do people today actually do all day?
It's kind of nerve-wracking, I will be honest.
That's next time on Freakonomics Radio. Tuesday at 1 p.m. on Radio Catskill.
WJFF Jeffersonville. This is Radio Catskill. On air, live streaming at WJFFradio.org. Ask your smart speaker to play Radio Catskill. Radio Catskill. Local news, culture, and NPR.